When you look at the data, what you're actually seeing is that more Americans are blaming Republicans than Democrats, which I think really goes against the conventional wisdom, because a lot of folks are saying, hey, Democrats are so divided. But at this particular point, Americans are placing the blame on the Republican shoulders, at least the plurality of them are.
Hmm. Isn't that interesting? Conventional wisdom, wrong again.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight.
That's why.
I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it ain't.
I'm just scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yes, I am. From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on 90.KPFK, 90.7 FM in LA, 93.7 in Santa Barbara, 93.7 in San Diego, 99.5 in Ridgecrest and China Lake, also in California in Red Bluff and Redding on KFOI and Round Mountains, KKRN. Up in Oregon on the Central Coast on KYAQ, Cottage Grove's KSO, and Eugene's KEPW. Lanchester, Pennsylvania's W News, Maui, Hawaii's KAKU, in Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, Palinville, New York's WLPP, Rochester, New York's WRFZ, down in New Orleans on WHIV, out in Gallup, New Mexico on KNIZ, Concord, New Hampshire's WNHN, Fayetteville, Arkansas's KPSQ, in Seattle on KODX, Richmond, Virginia's WRWK, Fairmont, West Virginia's WEFR, Janesville, Wisconsin's WADR, and Minneapolis, St. Paul's AM950, KTNF. We also stream coast to coast and around the globe every day on the internets on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Radio for Humans, NicoleSandler.com, Radio Free Brooklyn, No Lies Radio, Detour Talk, Delmarva FM, and most of your favorite podcast sites, blanketing planet Earth. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today for another thrilling edition of The Bradcast. And surprise, 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 it was another busy weekend in the Trump era. Go figure, who could have seen that coming? With some very real moves toward the militaristic authoritarianism that Donald Trump has been promising, threatening, warning us all about for some time, most recently at his long rambling speech last week to the nation's top generals and admirals as part of Defense Secretary and former Fox News host Pete Hegseth's hastily called, widely televised meeting of the nation's top, 800 or so military brass, where Donald Trump vowed to use many in the room to go after what he described as, quote, the enemy within, to fight, quote, the war from within our nation. Over the weekend, it was so-called war-ravaged Portland that was, quote, burning to the ground and needed his help with federal troops, according to Donald Trump. That despite the governor of Oregon and mayor of Portland insisting otherwise, and a Trump-appointed federal judge strongly agreeing with them, agreeing with Oregon and Portland, not with Donald Trump, fighting against the Trump administration. Also, of course, we are now finishing up the first of what could be many weeks of a federal government shutdown as Trump and Republicans apparently continue to refuse to negotiate with Democrats in any way. Democrats who are fighting to prevent the health care costs for some 25 million Americans from doubling at the start of the year. So far, it seems Americans are supporting Democrats in that effort, not Republicans, despite threats by Donald Trump to unlawfully fire hundreds of thousands of federal workers and unlawfully cancel tens or even hundreds of billions of dollars in federal spending on what Trump believes to be projects and agencies favored by Democrats and apparently in states that voted against Donald Trump last year. That's his plan. It doesn't seem to be going well, at least when it comes to the shutdown, but we'll see. It is early still. I do hope to get to all of that and maybe more, but I also like to continue keeping the public airwaves open to you and your thoughts on all of the above today at 818 985-5735. If you are listening live in our live Southern California listening area or listening live anywhere else in the world across our kpfk.org live web stream, 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. 5735 is our number, and then hit option number one to join me on air, or option number two if you'd like to help keep the broadcast, KPFK and Pacifica Radio, alive and well as we continue with our more critical than ever fall fun drive here at my flagship station in Los Angeles.
And of course, as media consolidation continues apace, as we find out now that we have more right-wing oligarchs buying more legacy media outlets.
There can never be enough right-wing media oligarchs apparently buying up the media, but they can't buy up Pacifica Radio, KPFK, or the broadcast. As long as we have folks supporting us, please call in now. If you have any thoughts on any of the above or anything else, really, that you'd like to discuss over your national public airwaves. But first, I got to begin with a public service announcement. Now, in truth, everything we do here is really a public service announcement on this show, but this one is very important, particularly for folks out here in California today, double particularly for those here in Southern California who may have been affected, lost their homes in the wind-driven, climate-driven wildfires earlier this year here in Los Angeles, where thousands of homes were burned to the ground in Pacific Palisades, Malibu, the Altadena area this past January. There are still tens of thousands of Southern Californians who are without permanent homes or are living and or living at temporary addresses in the wake of those fires. It will, of course, be years before everyone's homes are rebuilt and everyone is back. But in the meantime, we've got a very important election coming up here in California in less than a month, with early vote by mail already underway right now. All registered voters in the state should receive a vote-by-mail ballot soon for this election, if you haven't already. I received mine down here in Los Angeles County late last week. I think Desi said she received hers over the weekend,
yep,
if I recall. But the ballot, of course, is for the special election called at the last minute by the state legislature at Governor Gavin Newsom's request to temporarily set aside the U.S. House maps, the districts that have been created by California's state constitutionally mandated independent redistricting commission, and set those aside in response to the state of Texas, who, at the demand of Donald Trump, carried out an unprecedented mid-decade redistricting to essentially steal as many as five U.S. House seats from Democrats in the Lone Star State, even before next year's midterms, which Trump and his party fear they are going to lose in a rout. That's why they are making moves like this, this mid-decade gerrymandering that's never been done before. So they're essentially trying to steal next year's election in advance by changing the maps. In this case, by the Texas state legislature drawing maps that they believe will flip five or so so-called blue U.S. House seats, most of them in majority-minority districts, that they can flip those over to Republican next year. In response, out here in California, Governor Gavin Newsom called for a special election on November 4 that would allow every voter in the state to ring in and decide if they want to redraw California's maps to flip five red seats to Democrats in response to what Texas is doing. Now, the state legislature approved it, and now a measure called Prop 50 will be decided by voters by November 4th, though, as I said, voting is underway right now. And, well, there are a lot of eligible voters who, because they lost their homes earlier this year, may not have received their vote-by-mail ballots for the special statewide Prop 50 election. A yes vote would allow the state to redraw the U.S. House maps before the 2026 midterms. A no vote would leave the Independent Redistricting Commission's maps in place. But with thousands trying to recover and rebuild after the January fires, An election may be the last thing that is on their mind right now, but in truth, it shouldn't be, especially given that Trump is slow walking and/or threatening to withhold disaster aid to California because our state had the temerity to vote against him last November. That, by the way, even though Donald Trump received more Republican votes from the state of California than any other single state in the union. More Republican Trump voters in California than anywhere else in the country. And yet he wants to punish us anyway. But you can help push back against that by voting on Prop 50 by November 4th. But you can't do it if you don't have your ballot. Many residents from Altadena and Pacific Palisades may have their mail addresses forwarded to them at a different temporary location. But as the LA County Registrar Dean Logan made clear last week, ballots are not forwarded. The post office can't automatically forward your vote by mail ballot because they are specific to where you are registered to vote. As ABC 7 out here in LA reported last week, don't expect your vote by mail ballot to just show up wherever you are currently living. Here's what the registrar recommends for those registered voters who have not yet received their ballots by mail, which should be there already or arrive over the next day or two, but not necessarily if you are not living at your home address because it burned down. So in order to receive your ballot in the mail, even if you're currently living elsewhere, you need to keep your original home address the same as it is currently, but add a temporary mailing address to your voter record. You could do this by re-registering online at lavote.gov, and you check the box on your voter record that says my mailing address is different from my home address. That'll get you that ballot. You should also be able to do all of that via lavote.gov if you are a registered voter here already. If you're not, you will also be able to use lavote.gov to follow the links to become a new voter here in Los Angeles. But if you are dislocated due to the fires and you've not yet received your ballot, go to lavote.gov, find your record, let them know you have a temporary address where they need to send your ballot. You can also call the voter info hotline. That is, got a pen ready? That is 800-815-2666. 800-815-2666. And you can get help doing all of this there. The registrar, Dean Logan, went on to explain that, quote, in the event a ballot doesn't get to you, again, that's the fail-safe method of having those vote centers located throughout the county for that 11-day voting period. So even if you do not receive a ballot by mail, or if you screw up the one that they sent you, well, you can go to any L.A. County voting center, no matter where you're registered to vote in Southern California, in L.A. County. You can vote there in the 11 days or so leading up to the special election on November 4. Don't put it off. Your county, your state, and yes, your nation is counting on you here to vote yes or no on Prop 50. If you permanently relocated following the fires, you can use that same procedure, lavote.gov or 800-815-2666, to update your home address. This will determine your ability to vote in the local elections tied to your new residential address, as well as the statewide Prop 50 election on November 4. Got it? All right, good. And if you know, by the way, anybody else who has been dislocated by the fires, please pass on this information to them as well, lavote.gov. We are all fighting off this autocracy together. Let's all work together to come out of it. I welcome your calls on that as well today at 818-985-5735. If you've got any thoughts or questions for me about any of that, or if you'd like to argue either for or against Prop 50, that's up to you. 818-985-5735. Hit option 1 to join me. Option 2 to donate to KPFK. If you live elsewhere, if you're listening after we're not live, please consider donating to whichever outlet is allowing you to listen to the broadcast every day over your public airwaves or even via download podcast. Speaking of Trump's autocratic takeover, military takeover of these United States, which you may wish to also ring in on at 818-985-KPFK. It was a very busy weekend in that regard. It was really difficult to keep up. You have likely heard that Donald Trump, after watching Fox News rerun old B-roll footage as if it was new over and over again on a loop of protests in Portland following the murder of George Floyd 5 years ago, that resulted in our brain-addled Fox News poisoned president ordering U.S. military troops to currently peaceful Portland to quell the unrest there that is not happening and to put out the fires there, which he claimed are burning Portland to the ground, which were, in fact, put out 5 years ago. But because, as brain-addled as he is, Trump can never be shown to be wrong, so many Republicans and, of course, Trump's entire administration is now playing along as if there are massive, violent protests happening right now against the use of federal ICE officials to round up migrants in Portland. It's a war zone. Didn't you hear? Late last week, Trump ordered the federalization of several hundred members of Oregon's National Guard in hopes of deploying them to peaceful Portland to quell imaginary unrest there, or perhaps to cause unrest that might ultimately justify the deployment that is opposed by the state's governor and by Portland's mayor, who quickly filed suit to block the federalization of Oregon troops in Trump's efforts to use them against Oregonians. So his effort there did not go well over the weekend via several different emergency hearings in response to several different emergency motions and lawsuits that were filed. On Saturday, U.S. District Judge Karen Immergut blocked the president's deployment of 200 National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon, after Trump falsely claimed that Portland was, quote, war-torn and, quote, under siege by, quote, Antifa and other domestic terrorists. All of it's stuff and nonsense. Judge Immergut, however, in federal court, he brushed off Trump's justification for invading Portland as, quote, untethered to facts, and affirmed in her ruling that, quote, this is a nation of constitutional law, not martial law, and, quote, whether we choose to follow what the Constitution mandates goes to the heart of what it means to live under the rule of law in the U.S. Immergut found the president appeared to have federalized the Oregon National Guard, quote, absent constitutional authority, and that protests in Portland, quote, did not pose a danger of a rebellion, as the administration tried to pretend. The judge said Oregon attorneys showed, quote, substantial evidence that the protests at the Portland ICE facility were not significantly violent, as claimed in the lead-up to Trump's directive. Judge Immergut warned some of the arguments offered by the Trump administration, quote, risk blurring the line between civil and military federal power to the detriment of this nation. She went on to observe in her ruling that the president is certainly entitled to, quote, a great level of deference. But a great level of deference, she said, is not equivalent to ignoring the facts on the ground, and that his directive, quote, must reflect a colorable assessment within a range of honest judgment. She added, quote, the president's determination was simply untethered to the facts. Judge Immergut then went on to quote James Madison from the records of the Federal Convention of 1787, where Madison said, quote, a standing military force with an overgrown executive will not long be safe companions to liberty. The means of defense against foreign danger have always been the instruments of tyranny at home. She continued, quote, this country has a long-standing and foundational tradition of resistance to government overreach, especially in the form of military intrusion into civil affairs. This historical tradition boils down to a simple proposition. This is a nation of constitutional law, not martial law. which is a powerful response from the federal judge who, with her Saturday order, placed a temporary injunction on Oregon's National Guard being federalized and deployed to Portland. And oh, by the way, that judge, Judge Karen Emmergut, is a Trump-appointed federal judge. She was nominated and seated on the federal bench during Trump's first term in office. He will have a difficult time brushing her off as a cuckoo lefty, a liberal judge, though he and his minions are trying to do whatever they can anyway. Responding to the Saturday ruling on Sunday, Trump justified the charge that he was untethered to facts by misgendering Judge Emmergut, saying, quote, "I wasn't served well by the people who pick judges." I guess he didn't pick the judges. Someone else picks them for him, I guess. He complained to reporters that if he made that decision, Portland is burning to the ground. All you have to do is turn on your televisions, read your newspapers. That judge ought to be ashamed of himself. Well, Portland is not burning to the ground. It isn't burning at all, unless you watch old footage on Fox News, which they love to run to confuse our brain-addled president. And Judge Emmergut, appointed by Trump himself, is a she, not a he. Other than that, Donald Trump was right on the money. Nailed it, dude. If the televisions you are turning have Fox News on them, pretending that footage from 5 years ago is what is going on in Portland right now, well, then sure, turn on your televisions to see what's going on. It's burning to the ground in Portland. More alarming, the nation's Jeet Here notes today that were attacks on the judiciary made by two of Trump's most important political associates, Deputy Chief of Staff, drama queen and Goebbels wannabe Stephen Miller, and his best buddy, tech billionaire Elon Musk. On Saturday, Stephen Miller posted on X, the site owned by Elon Musk, quote, "legal insurrection." This in response to the judge. "The president is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, not an Oregon judge. Portland and Oregon law enforcement, at the direction of local leaders, have refused to aid ICE officers facing relentless terrorist assault." Terrorist assault, can you imagine? "And threats to life. Now, whether local law enforcement choose to help ICE is actually up to them. But the rest of this is just nonsense and drama queenery." Miller goes on to say, "This is an organized terrorist attack on the federal government and its officers. And the deployment of troops is an absolute necessity to defend our personnel, our laws, our government, public order, and the Republic itself."
Stephen Miller is a drama queen, and he took extra drama queen pills to deliver that speech.
Yes, he did.
I mean, calling it obviously they're trying to lay the groundwork in order to say, hey, all of the people that we don't like, all of the people who say things that we don't like, they're all domestic terrorists, and everything they say that's mean to us is terrorism. So that they can then proceed to do with the, you know, what they plan to do, which is, you know, do that whole fascist thing.
And you know what? Oddly enough, a Trump-appointed federal judge seemed to feel the complete opposite of Stephen Miller and Donald Trump. That it was, in fact, Trump and his attempted military deployment that actually threatens our republic right now. A White House official describing a judicial decision as a, quote, "insurrection is no small matter," observes Jeet here at The Nation, writing, "but Musk took things further by calling on Trump to emulate Nayib Bukele. He's the authoritarian president of El Salvador who has completely destroyed the country's independent judiciary entirely." Musk tweeted a right-wing pundit who quoted Bukele's about his attack on the judiciary, adding, quote, "we need to Bukele our court system. Watch how quickly this country is fixed when we do." Musk took that tweet, boosted it, and added, quote, "essential. Essential that we destroy our judicial system." Musk responded to another tweet that was critical of Judge Emmergut by simply saying, quote, "treason." So he accused the Trump-appointed federal judge of treason, which is punishable by death, for, in fact, citing the law and the Constitution, and indeed one of the main architects of the Constitution itself, as to why we do not use federal military troops against domestic residents, period. If you're wondering what it means to Bukele the courts, as Elon Musk is calling for, former advisor, Obama advisor Tommy Vietor provided some context for Musk's tweet, noting that, quote, Bukele forced out independent judges, packed the courts with loyalists, and then declared a state of emergency that allowed him to arrest and indefinitely detain people without any due process. When we say these guys are advocating for fascist ideas, it's because they literally are. And of course, these threats to the judiciary, in this case, Trump charging that the judge, a woman, should be ashamed of himself. Well, on that, Musk describing Judge Emmergut as treasonous, and Stephen Miller characterizing her well-supported ruling calling for a 14-day restraining order on federalizing Oregon troops against Oregonians as, quote, insurrection. Well, all of that has very real-world effects. Police today are investigating the fire of the source of a fire that burned down the home of South Carolina Circuit Court Judge Diane Goodstein over the weekend after she reportedly received death threats for weeks related to her work. State law enforcement is investigating the house fire, which began at around 11:30 a.m. on Edisto Beach in South Carolina. Goodstein was reportedly not at home at the time of the fire, but at least three members of her family, including her husband, former Democratic State Senator Arnold Goodstein, and their son, have been hospitalized with serious injuries. South Carolina Chief Justice John Kittredge said they were investigating the cause of the fire, but it appeared to have been caused by an explosion. The 69-year-old judge had received death threats in the weeks leading up to the fire, according to multiple witnesses and sources. Goodstein had temporarily blocked the state's election commission from releasing its voter files to the Department of Justice, a decision openly criticized by Trump's Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights, a Republican activist named Harmeet Dillon. So why does the Trump DOJ want those files? We discussed that issue in detail on last Wednesday's broadcast with voting rights journalist Ari Berman. You can download that show for free anytime at bradblog.com. The chief judge for the District of Rhode Island, Jack McConnell, told NPR that in August, his court has received more than 400 threatening voicemails, including several credible death threats. McConnell had issued a ruling blocking Trump's freeze on federal aid earlier this year. Also earlier this year, Senator Dick Durbin, the top Democrat on the Senate Judiciary Committee, penned a letter to Attorney General Pam Bondi and FBI Director Kash Patel requesting an investigation into pizza doxing incidents that affected at least a dozen judges, pizzas that they did not order, sent to their homes by people clearly sending the message that they knew where those judges lived. Threats against judges are threats against constitutional government. Everyone should be taking this very seriously, said New York Judge Richard Sullivan, a Trump first-term appointee. More than 150 ex-federal and state judges in May signed a letter to Bondi and Patel rebuking the administration's attacks on the judiciary, as critics have said that the Trump administration's rhetoric fuels broader threats against judges and, yes, political violence in response. Quote, what we need is our political leaders from the top down to stop fanning these flames, said Esther Salas, a federal judge in New Jersey whose son was killed in 2020 by an attorney pretending to be delivering pizza. So following the judge's ruling in Oregon, temporarily blocking Oregon's National Guard from being federalized by Trump and deployed to Portland, Trump, well, he tried again. This time, he ordered that federalized National Guard from California and then from Texas be deployed to Portland. which brought all of the parties back to court for a late-night hearing on Sunday in which the judge made clear that nothing had changed on the ground since the hearing just one day earlier, and she made clear via a second order that her first order applied, yes, to any federalization of troops from any state used against the residents of Portland, not just Oregon's troops. No, you can't go to California and get troops there, and go to Texas and get troops there. Because nothing on the ground has changed in Portland. It's perfectly peaceful by and large, and where it's not, local law enforcement can handle whatever is going on. So she made that clear. This order is only for the next 2 weeks for now, or until an appeals court rules otherwise, the administration being completely shut down for now by a Trump-appointed judge when it comes to Portland. The administration has vowed to take the matter on to appeal, which is their right, to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We will, of course, continue watching, but that has not stopped Trump from pressing on with his attempted war against the United States elsewhere, what he describes as against the enemy within elsewhere. Just hours after the court victories for Oregon and Portland over the weekend, Illinois leaders went to court on Monday to stop Trump from sending National Guard troops to Chicago. The administration has portrayed both cities, Chicago and Portland, as war-ravaged and lawless amid the government crackdown on so-called illegal immigration. Officials in both Illinois and Oregon say military intervention is not needed and that federal involvement is actually inflaming the situation. For example, last week in the South Shore incident where federalized troops descended, in some cases literally, from helicopters to basically break into an entire apartment building in the middle of the night, terrifying women and children whose doors were broken down, windows smashed, and then they were zip-tied. Children, women, the elderly, and forced out onto the streets, some of them naked, in the middle of the night where they were detained for hours. The entire building. The lawsuit filed in Illinois on Monday to stop Trump's deployment of the U.S. military in Chicago alleges that, quote, these advances in President Trump's long declared war on Chicago and Illinois are unlawful and dangerous. The American people, regardless of where they reside, should not live under the threat of occupation by the U.S. military. Particularly not simply because their city or state leadership has fallen out of a president's favor, according to the lawsuit. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, a Democrat, said some 300 of the state's guard troops were to be federalized and deployed to Chicago, along with 400 others from Texas. Pritzker said the potential deployment amounted to, quote, Trump's invasion. Here's the governor on CNN on Sunday, the day before filing suit against the administration on Monday.
Let me just say that the secretary doesn't know what she's talking about. She frankly says that people are clapping. They're not. They're booing her on the street, and they're booing ICE and CBP. They're marching, the CBP marching on a beautiful Sunday, Michigan Avenue in downtown Chicago. They're raiding neighborhoods where instead of going after the bad guys, they're just picking up people who are brown and black and then checking their credentials. Are you a U.S. citizen? I don't know about you, but I don't carry around papers that say I'm a U.S. citizen. So you can imagine people are getting detained. They're getting arrested. U.S. citizens. And they did this, of course, when they raided a building in the middle of the night in South Shore. 130 people that were emptied out of this building. They were going after a few gang members, and instead they broke windows, they broke down doors, they ransacked the place, and there were people that were held, I mean, elderly people and children zip-tied, elderly people held for 3 hours at a time. They are the ones that are making it a war zone. They need to get out of Chicago if they're not going to focus on the worst of the worst, which is what the president said they were going to do. They need to get the heck out.
Now, since the start of his second term, Donald Trump has sent or talked about sending troops to 10 cities, 10 U.S. cities, including Baltimore, Memphis, Tennessee, the District of Columbia, New Orleans, and the California cities of Oakland, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. All cities, of course, that voted overwhelmingly against Donald Trump. So naturally, invade them. A federal judge in September said the administration, quote, willfully broke federal laws by deploying guard troops to Los Angeles over protests about immigration raids earlier this year. He's currently blocked from doing so in Portland by a Trump-appointed judge, but just before airtime today, in the last hour or so, a federal judge declined to block the deployment of National Guard troops to Illinois, despite Governor Pritzker's labeling it as an unconstitutional invasion by the federal government. The judge's ruling, which allows the deployment to move ahead for now, came as a military official said 200 troops from the Texas Guard were now headed to Illinois, and lawyers from the Trump administration said they were expected to be deployed by Tuesday or Wednesday. Texas troops deployed against Illinois residents because Chancellor Trump is pretending that Chicago is secretly a war zone.
Which, of course, it is not. The facts on the ground belie that the Trump administration is lying about all of this. But I just want to point out, as a person, Texas is my home state. Yep. I am from there.
Yep.
How it makes me very angry, shall we say, that Central Texas is still trying to recover from those horrible floods mm-hmm. over the summer that destroyed Camp Mystic and killed all those little girls.
Yep.
The Texas National Guard still hasn't found all of the missing children from those floods, and I think it's just unconscionable that Governor Abbott is more worried about invading Illinois
yep.
than making sure that the National Guard in Texas is doing the work they need to be doing in Texas.
Got any thoughts on all of this? As usual, I would love to hear from y'all, particularly if you supported Trump before all of this and or still do now. 818-985-5735 if you're in our Southern California live listening area or listening via kpfk.org's web stream. If you're listening later, you can always hit me via email. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. Or you can find me on social media, especially Blue Sky. I am always The Brad Blog. But beyond that, I'd also love to hear from you regarding the federal government shutdown that, yes, is now heading into its first full week, with Democrats standing up to demand that Republicans restore funding to Affordable Care Act subsidies, which will otherwise more than double the monthly premiums and other costs for folks who purchased health insurance via the Obamacare exchanges. That begins January 1. Unless something is done, Democrats are standing up for that. Republicans refuse to discuss it. Then there's not to mention, of course, the $1 trillion cuts that Trump and Republicans have already made to Medicaid and the $500 billion in cuts that are also coming for Medicare, unless Republicans and Democrats work something out. That story and your calls on any or all of this are all straight ahead on today's broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the Bradcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Welcome back. It's the Bradcast, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We will get to your calls any moment now, 818-985-5735. It's a little early yet, but for the moment, the shutdown of the federal government, as Democrats insist on restoring health care cuts that will otherwise double monthly premiums for tens of millions of Americans beginning on January 1, is being blamed much more on Republicans than Democrats, it seems. But I'm wondering about how you feel about it. Do you feel this is the right issue for Democrats to go to the mat for? Are you running into problems thanks to the partial closure of the federal government and services being shut down or slowed because of it? Well, I'd love to hear from you at 818-985-5735. Or do you think that Democrats ought to stick with it in favor of health care for the American people? 818-985-KPFK. Let me go to Daoud in Compton. Hey, Daoud, welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm okay. Did I pronounce your name right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I just wanted to know, isn't Trump in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act?
Well, of course, I'm not a federal judge, but yeah, that's one of the arguments here is that he's violating the Posse Comitatus Act if they use these U.S. federal troops as part of law enforcement. And so far, the administration has been saying, well, they're not doing local law enforcement, which would be a violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. They're just helping out ICE officials. That's the claim. Whether that is going to be bought by federal judges and eventually the U.S. Supreme Court remains to be seen. But yeah, the Posse Comitatus Act, you would think, would prevent this kind of deployment against Americans by the U.S. military.
Right.
Does that answer? Yeah.
Is there a hearing or anything yet?
Say that again.
Has there been a scheduling of some kind of hearing about this issue?
Yeah, they have been. Yeah, they have been going on constantly, actually, and certainly over the weekend. A whole bunch of them I just talked about in Oregon. A Trump judge has said, "Nope, you can't bring in the troops to Portland." Meanwhile, just before airtime in Illinois, the lawsuit that was filed by the state and the mayor has for now not prevented the U.S. troops from being deployed to Illinois. So we will see. Got it?
Yeah.
Got it. Keep a close watch, though, man, because this is really dangerous, really ugly, and probably going to be happening all over the country unless we peacefully stand up against this BS. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. Let me go to Alec in Altadena. Hey, Alec, welcome to the broadcast. Were you safe from the fires earlier this year, Alec?
Hi. I spent 3 weeks in the mandatory evacuation zone trying to keep my folks' house from burning down, watched half the neighborhood burn down. Mm. It was not good. I'm going to use that as an intro to mention that we just had a refinery fire that I believe supplies 20% of the gas to Los Angeles Basin, and we don't currently have a federal team out there because of the government shutdown. I'm going to switch gears now. So I think we all have to come together. I'm calling it Team America. United we stand. We need to start massive voter registration drives immediately. These guys are criminals. It is treason. They need to be held criminally responsible. They need to be held financially responsible.
Who are these guys? Alec, who are these guys when you say? Who?
Go ahead.
Who are these guys? You say they need to be held criminally responsible. Are you referring to the administration, the Democrats, the Republicans? Who are you referring to? The judges?
I will answer that question.
Okay.
I am specifically referring to Trump and the Heritage people doing the Project 2025. Mm. Beyond that, I am referring to our senators and our congresspeople. We only need to peel 6 patriotic Republicans, and we can stop this. They are doing many things that are violations of law. They need to be held responsible. It's simple.
Yep.
I mean, if you destroy the Smithsonian, that Qatar jet pays for it. You don't get to destroy hundreds of years of American blood, sweat, and tears, period. And we need to go on the offensive. We need a voter register. And as a Ukrainian told me, we will win.
Thanks for that thought, Alec. And by the way, did you hear the top of the show when I mentioned that ballots are going out, but the people who lived in areas like Altadena who lost their houses are not getting their ballots because they can't be automatically forwarded? You got to go to lavote.gov to sign up to tell them you've got a temporary address because it won't be forwarded with your normal mail. Can you spread that word around Altadena?
Yes, sir. I'll also mention one thing to you. I'll try and do as quick as I can. I vote by mail sometimes, and I had a registered vote by mail ballot sent way in advance of election. The post office in this particular place was across the street from where they collect the ballots, the county seat, and they didn't bring my ballot across the street. They returned it to me. So that's just a heads up for you. I don't want to waste your time on that one.
Well,
right now.
On what basis was it returned? Do you have any idea?
Clerical error in the post office 100 yards from the vote collection agency.
All right. Well, make sure you get it cast this time, and please help everyone you know, Alec, because I think there's a lot of people, thousands of people, who are not going to be getting their ballots, but who should in, you know, places like Altadena and Pacific Palisades and Malibu and so forth. So
copy that. I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to get everybody I know across the political spectrum to register to vote.
Thank you, brother. Really appreciate what you're doing. Go get him, man. Thanks, Alec. And stay in touch, please, as this moves forward. 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-5735. Hit button number one to join us on the air. Let me go to Al in Huntington Beach. Hey, Al, welcome to the broadcast. Oh, Al in Huntington Beach. Are you there, brother? No? Okay. We'll put him back on hold. There we go. All right. 818-985-KPFK is our phone number. As I mentioned at the top of the segment here, Americans are blaming, at least more of them are blaming Donald Trump and the Republicans for this federal shutdown. That, according to the first four independent national polls that were conducted either right as the shutdown began or just before, a Washington Post poll conducted October 1, the first day of the shutdown last week, found that 47% of U.S. adults blame Trump and Republicans in Congress, while just 30% blame Democrats. There are still 23% out there who were not sure yet in that polling, however. The survey also found that independents blamed Donald Trump and Republicans over Democrats by a huge margin, 50 to 22%. So those are the independents blaming Trump and Republicans, 50 to 22%. Over Democrats. And even one third of Republicans were either unsure who to blame or blamed their own party. Polling on the health care subsidies specifically, that is still sparse. But the Washington Post survey last week found that 71% of U.S. adults want the ACA subsidies to be extended, while just 29% say they should expire at the end of this year. Republicans want those to expire, you know, and I wonder if they're going to feel that way in a couple of weeks as more and more Americans as start seeing what the what their premiums are about to spike to after the end of this year. As of January 1, those numbers are going to be coming out in the next few weeks on the exchanges. I think people are going to be stunned, and I think the numbers that right now support Democrats and support additional funding for the Affordable Care Act are going to go through the roof once Americans see what kind of numbers we are actually talking about, which is going to lead millions of Americans to lose their health care as of January 1 and beyond, I suspect.
Yes, it seems like it will make it completely unaffordable for a lot of folks, because while the average has been put out in the corporate media that, oh, we expect it will maybe be between 75% and 100% more, which is too much for a lot of people, that's an average. Other people will see potentially much, much, much higher, like 400% or so. Just wanted to let you know also that it looks like Al is there, so let's give it a try and see if it works.
Let's go. Hey, Al, welcome to the broadcast. We got you now in Huntington Beach. How's it going?
It's going great, Brad.
Good.
Yeah. Timing is everything. And it's like when you're a lifeguard and the guy is drowning, mm-hmm. you don't want to rush in and try and save him. because he'll try and drown you too. And I think we should have waited until all these cuts took effect on January 1st and all these rural hospitals and all these red states started to shut down and people started to have to pay, you know, four times as much for health care and they couldn't get their prescriptions. That's when we should have struck.
You know, I might have agreed with the second part of your thought, and let's talk about that in a second, but I might have been more inclined to agree with it had you not mentioned that first part about the lifeguard not wanting to rush in to save people. I think they ought to rush in to save people, Al. That said, on the second part of your thought, I see what you're saying. Wait until January 1st. That said, I guess that becomes a political question. Would have been better politically for the Democrats to wait until January 1? I think an argument can be made for that. I think an argument can also be made that it would be unconscionable to have done so. Yeah, it might affect a whole bunch of Americans, but if they can save them now, if they can, you know, get this message out now that we need to, you know, continue funding the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, I think they should do it now. I think it would be unconscionable to wait until January 1 when people begin losing their health care or they can't afford it.
Well, the only way that anything changes is when you hit bottom. And until these people feel the pain, they won't change their minds. They're just blaming the Democrats for shutting down the government.
Well,
and,
I hear you.
Our enemies, like in Russia and China and all these other, they're jumping for joy because we're like the Stalin purges back before World War II. Hegseth and the Pentagon, he's just firing generals. And we ought to be taking the lead of, like, Israel. I mean, we've already got a manpower shortage. We can't fill our ranks. And they will, you know, take gays and lesbians and whoever else they can get to serve for them. And they should do the same.
All right. Thanks, Al. I appreciate all of your thoughts there. 818-985-KPFK. You said, Desi, that Andrew could not hold. What was he asking about?
He wanted to know why Democrats, when they were controlling Congress, didn't extend the Obamacare subsidies when they had the chance. And I believe that that answer would be because of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin preventing the filibuster from... I'm trying to remember if I got that correct or not.
They extended the Obamacare subsidies for a number of years in the American Rescue Plan. After Joe Biden came into office, they could not get a single Republican vote to expand the subsidies. So because of that, they passed it without the 60 votes required in the U.S. Senate to overcome a filibuster. So it's the type of bill means that these subsidies cannot be permanent, that they sunset after a period of time. And now we're coming up to that sunset time at the end of January. And that's one of the things, by the way, I think Democrats ought to hold tight for a permanent extension of the Affordable Care Act subsidies, not just, oh, let's extend it another year and have this fight against next year. But by the way, if that's what happens, I believe that's going to hurt Republicans more than Democrats, because Americans are seeing who is choosing, tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires over health care for people who really need that support.
Yes. I mean, because we're talking about these delayed cuts, the delayed impacts that will be coming through, after all of these arguments, after this policy fight plays out. You know, I think we have a clip from Sheldon Whitehouse who discusses about the changes that are going to come to Medicaid and Medicare, which I think is what, you know, a thing to consider about when these impacts come in and if the public is fully aware of that.
Do we have clip number three there? Go ahead.
First of all, we're going into a very serious health care crisis. The Republicans have cut $1 trillion out of Medicaid. That will go into effect after the election. They are cutting $500 billion out of Medicare. That starts next year. But the Affordable Care benefits, that starts now. This is a Republican-created shutdown designed to try to let them keep cutting health care. And we want to stop that. These aren't hard asks. They just like cutting health care. It's like a fetish with them.
Yeah, it is. Let me see if I can get in two quick calls here before we got to get out. Let me go to Mike in Leona Valley. Hey, Mike, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
I was thinking about this being an odd year for election. Mm-hmm. Is there only going to be one issue on the Proposition 50? Is that going to be on a ballot this year?
Yep. There may be some areas that have other elections going on, but I know down here in L.A. County, one single issue, Prop 50, on the statewide ballot for November 4.
Okay. And can I register now? See, I'm in between addresses right now.
Yes.
Particular circumstance. So can I register and vote for November 4th?
Yes, now? Are you a California resident?
Yes.
Then yes, you absolutely can. Are you in L.A. County by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, go to L.A.
We're just barely in L.A. Well, we're near to Kern County up here.
You're in Kern County?
No, I'm near to Kern County.
Okay.
We're still in L.A.
Okay. Well, if you're in L.A., you go to lavote.gov and you can register to vote there. If you're already registered, you'll find your record and you can give them your new address where you're currently living. Or you can, I had that phone number earlier. Where is it here? You can call 800-815-2666 and get help from them there signing up. Thanks, Mike.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Brad.
You bet.
Have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye. Do we have time for... We do not. Sorry, Mike. I'm sorry. Sorry, Dave, in Venice. We will try again next week. My apologies. Trying to fit in way too much as usual because I got no choice. Thanks to our producer today, Desi Doyen. Thanks to our board operator, Wendell, the handyman Handle, and to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's show or any other, you can always download them for free every day at bradblog.com. Drop me email if you like. I am bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, especially Blue Sky, you'll find me at TheBradBlog. We will see you there at all of the above. Until we see you here next time, hopefully tomorrow, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world. Listening to the broadcast. We are 100% listener supported thanks to listeners like you who stop by bradblog.com/donate.